phrase. How many of you last week took the little formula and started using it? By getting up in the morning and thanking God for His loving kindness that He was going to express to you on that given day. And then in the evening, you went to bed thanking Him for His faithfulness to you. That is indeed the formula that we shared last Lord's Day. Getting up in the morning, thanking God for His loving kindness, which endures forever. Going to evening, thanking Him for His faithfulness. Reaching a higher level of praise is certainly something that is important in every one of our relationships with God, especially the God who created us. C.S. Lewis, who is one of our noted writers, contemporary writers, stated, "I was not born to be free. I was born to glorify, to adore, and to obey, and to praise the Creator, God. I was born to praise Him, to praise Him." Psalms 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. You will only raise your level of praise to how you raise the level of the God that you worship and who He is, what He is, as far as your personal life. You see, genuine praise has to come from a genuine heart. It is such a part of our worship of God. We came here today to praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Life is nothing more than living a life of praising God. You were not born to be free. You were born to praise the Creator who gave you life, who gave you breath, who made you in His own image. Isaiah 43:21, God declares, "The people that I formed in my image will declare my praise." The people that I have formed and made in my image will declare my praise. You see, the average disbeliever today certainly doesn't praise God. They praise themselves. It's all about me. It's all about who I am and the aspects of life and et cetera, et cetera. But those who have knowledge and know that God is God, the Creator, this awesome God that we worship, we cannot but help but praise Him. If you look at Hebrews, it's an interesting verse that Paul writes, and I believe he did write it. Hebrews 13:15. Look at that verse with me quickly. Hebrews 13:15. And notice what it says. Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. It says, "Through Him," that is, through Christ, "then let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise." Here, praise is acknowledged by God's Word as a sacrifice that we offer up to God through Jesus Christ, through His Son, through Jesus. We offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Wow. Just praising Him in God's eyes is considered, in His perspective, a sacrifice that you're offering up to Him. Praise Him, praise Him. The God who created us, praising Him continually. I believe that if you and I would just get our eyes off on ourselves, off our problems, off in life, and just fix our eyes on Him, glorifying Him, and praise Him, that everything would just simply diminish, like the fog off in the lake when the sun comes up. Or the frost on your funny windshield when the sun begins to hit it. When you, through Jesus Christ, offer up your praise continually to God, it is a sacrifice you're giving to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my everything. He's my deliverer. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise it. Praise ought to be a natural expression of someone who has come to learn of the awesome God that loves us, demonstrated that love, gave His Son for us. And how easy it is to get so wrapped up in life, we just forget daily the price that was paid for our redemption and how He suffered for us. And so the natural expression, as God would be, that you, as He being your Father and Jesus being your Lord, that you would be offering up to them a sacrifice of praise. It should be like a fountain flowing from the innermost element of your spirit to the Spirit of God, fellowshipping with that. You should be continuously, internally praising Him. Praising Him, thanking Him, the aspects of it. It should not have to be pumped up. There's no formula, no ingredient. It has to come from your heart. It has to come from the innermost spirit that you have within yourself, that who you know and who you have come to know as God. It comes from a pure heart, a heart that desires to give honor to the one who has honored you by letting His Son die for you. It comes from a heart that wants to glorify God and give Him the praise that is due His holy name. Take a moment and just reflect for a few moments. Just think for a few moments upon how you view God. How do you view Him? How do you see Him? How would you define the word praise? Clap your hands, all ye people, and give glory to His holy name. When you're praising somebody, you're applauding them. When somebody scores a touchdown, you applaud, you're happy, you praise the one that did it. Praise is clapping your hands, giving glory to Him, thanking Him, uplifting your heart to Him. It's praising Him. That's what it is. Isn't that what our Scripture said? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Praise Him. Praise Him. That's what praise is. It's to applaud. It's to show great approval toward that one. Great approval. Great approval. The aspects of it. It is to be tremendously and gratefully thankful for that, to that one to whom you are praising. It has to come from a heart of gratefulness. Gratitude. It really does. Reflect a moment. Reflect on His goodness. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. How good is He in your estimation? How good has He been to you? How good has He been to you? The Bible says that everything God created was good. And when He created man, He said it is very good. God considered you to be very good. How good do you consider Him? How about His faithfulness? The Bible says, do not waver in your faith, for He who promised is faithful. Loving kindness in the morning. Going to bed because you've experienced the faithfulness of God. I believe that a lot of us, our problems is that we don't believe in a faithful God who keeps His promises. When God promises something, God does not lie. He cannot lie. He means what He says. He's going to fulfill what He says. He's going to keep His word. And it's up to you whether you're going to live by faith or you're going to live by sight. Most of us got our eyes fixed on things around us rather than fixing our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author of our faith. And the problem is, how can we praise God if we don't believe that He is a faithful Father who just didn't love us and let Jesus die for us? He's going to be faithful to us every day of our lives. He's going to keep His promises. How about His provision that He gives you? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said every one of us probably would be well if we just go to Haiti or go down to Puerto Rico right now or go down in some of these countries of poverty and that's been strict and hard and see how these people survive day by day by day with nothing. Maybe we would come back and stop complaining, grumbling, and realize how good we got it. Amen? Because we do have it good. You got a roof over your head. You got food in your refrigerator. Some of you got a freezer full. You don't know what to do with all of it. I mean, think about how good the provisions of your life. Some of you could go to your closet and you have a hard time selecting what you're going to wear it. Because it's full of clothes. I remember as a little guy, my family was so poor, I had two pair of blue jeans annually. And I wore one week, and I wore the other pair the next week, and whatever. And then through the summer, I wore those two pair. I got two more brand new pair for school the next year, and I wore them. That was my wardrobe. It was my wardrobe back then. And I guess I can really be grateful today that I can go to my wardrobe today and I got four pair of blue jeans. How about His love and His forgiveness? How often do you really focus on how much God must have loved you? While you and I were all sinners, God commended His love and Jesus died for you. How often do you really soak in and evaluate and reflect upon the love of God, His goodness and His faithfulness and His provision and His love and His forgiveness and all the other aspects of His being? And how many times has God kept His promise to you? And you didn't really acknowledge it. You didn't really realize that it was God's hand that provided that promise and didn't thank Him for it. I believe that every good and perfect gift comes down from my Father in heaven, who is the Father of lights, and there is no variation nor shadow of turning with Him. One of the greatest powers of my faith is that I believe in an unchanging God. He's the same yesterday, today, and He will be tomorrow. Amen? Think about it for a moment. Praise comes from your heart, a heart that knows what this book says. How can you praise God if you don't know what the book says? Most of us don't have. We have such a shallow knowledge of what God's Word really, really, really says about the God that we are to be praising. You got to have a knowledge of the Word of God in order for you to know the God that has revealed Himself to you. You got to know Him in order to praise Him. And how many of us have really submitted to Him? How many of us have humbled ourselves? Truly. How many of us have really died to ourselves? Really got ourselves out of the picture? Or how many of us still are dealing with me? You were crucified with Christ. You don't live any longer. It's Christ who lives in you. And if you're still alive, you better do something about it. And you better get yourself dead in Christ, so that He can come alive in you and give you a thrust of life that you and He promised you, abundant life that comes like a well busting forth from the inner man, like a fountain. Jesus said, I'll give you this kind of life. And so many God's people today don't experience that because they've never died with Him in baptism. They got wet, but they came up, just as you might say, we've been crucified with Christ. We were put to death. The Bible says the old man was done away with. That's what it says. And we came up new creatures in Christ. That means we came up a person that never existed before. A person that God now created in His Son, filled with His Spirit, to live a Spirit-filled life that's going to praise the One who not only created us physically, but now has created us spiritually. You're alive in Christ. And your life is in Him. And He's the one to whom you and I live and breathe and have our being. It has to be you got to submit and humble yourself and deny yourself and put Jesus Christ on the throne of your life. You got to get rid of fear. Fear is in direct opposition to faith. I've looked and studied and I've read and I come to a realization that fear is a slap in God's face. Fear not, little ones. Fear not. Fear not. For I have overcome the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ Nothing can be against it if God's for it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, neither things present or things that come, powers or principles. Nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. You really love Him? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and do you know that He really loves you? How do I know that He loves Him? 1 John 3:16 says, we know that love by this, that God gave His Son to die for us. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect your love for God. Work on your love for God. And that love will then permeate through yourself to an elevation of praise where you can love people the way you love yourself. Comes that out, doesn't it? So what are the benefits of praising Him? Well, I think it begins the way that we focus on Him, not on life, not on the things around us. We focus on God. Didn't Peter do okay on the water until he took his eyes off on Jesus and then looked at the waves? How many of us have got our eyes on all the problems that are facing us? Rather than the Christ who can deliver us from them. How many of us feel like we're sinking? And how many of us know that Jesus can reach out His right hand and pick us back up and we can walk on water again? Think about it with me for a moment. Because in Psalms 146, verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. Being praising God causes you to recognize His sovereignty. That verse in our scripture today is very clear. And the aspects of it is very clear. And there's no way around it. Okay? When you and I think about God, it says, clap your hands, shout the Lord with a voice, for the Most High is to be feared. Great King over all sovereignty. He subdues peoples under His feet, nations under His feet. He chooses our inheritance for it, the glory of Jacob whom He loves, Selah. I mean, the sovereignty of God. God has ascended with a shout. The Lord has a sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. He is sovereign. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns. God sits on His throne. And the princes of people have ascended from the south as the people of Abraham. He is the shield of the earth. Exalt Him in your mind. Put Him where He belongs. God sits on His throne. He is the sovereign God. He rules and He reigns. I know it doesn't look like it in the world today, but Jesus said that. So did Paul. But just because Satan seems to be running rampant in the world today doesn't mean that God isn't on His throne. I am firmly convinced there is nothing happening in the world today that isn't encompassed in the will of God. All nations, all peoples, all kings are put there by God for a purpose. Our responsibility isn't to worry and fret about what God's doing in the world. Our responsibility is to get people out of the world into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That they may have hope that when God says enough of this world, they can go to the better world. The world that Jesus is preparing for us. Get your mind and your focus off on what's coming on the world. Luke 21 says that people's hearts wax cold in love because of their focus and their worrying about what's coming upon the earth. God's Word tells you what's going to come upon the earth. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Our responsibility is to preach the gospel. Our responsibility is to love people. Our responsibility is to demonstrate our praise to God in the workplace, in our homes, and wherever we go. Our responsibility is to be concerned with what's happening in Iran and Iraq and whatever. God's going to take care of you and me. God's going to take care of you and me. God is going to provide for His people, and He's going to take care of us. And even if I die or if I live, it doesn't matter to Bill Horton. Live or die, I'm going, and I belong to the Lord, and I'm going to be with him. Period. Period. Praise gets my mind focusing on the sovereignty of God and the mighty acts of God, and it paves the way for God to release his power in my life. It enlarges my vision of God. It magnifies his presence in my life. I see him working in my life every day. It increases my faith, and my faith continually grows. I am not the same man I was a year ago, 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, because my faith has grown and increased, because I know where my faith comes from. Faith is a work of God. The disciples said, Lord, increase my faith. I beg him, plead with him, ask him every day, God, increase my faith. Because I'm to live and move by faith, not by sight. Right? It exalts God's name. It unites his people. We come here to be united. How do we unite ourselves? By coming here for one purpose. And that's to thank him, to praise him, and to glorify him in our worship service. Amen? To lift up his holy name. Thank him for all his things that he's done in our life. To go to bed at night thanking him for his faithfulness, looking forward to another day. I don't get up in the morning and say, oh boy, it's another day. I get up in the morning and I say, thank you, God, for the loving kindness I'm going to experience from your hand today. I mean this, seriously. God's faithful to me. He's faithful to you. But you got to put your faith in him. You got to trust him. You really do. And that has filled my heart with joy. Now, I know sometimes I got to say I'm human, but I tell you, very few times do I feel depressed or down in the inner man. Because I knew who God is, and I know that my joy is in him. I have a joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. That someday is going to be magnified to its fullness. Because my eyes haven't seen nor my ears haven't heard what God's got in store for me, and I'm anxious to see it. Huh? I don't live for this life. I don't live for this world. If you've been risen with Christ, then set your mind on those things who are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, Colossians 3 and 1. Get your mind off the world. Get your mind on where you're going. Amen? Many today reflect on God, and I hear even Christians calling him the old man upstairs. Well, you know, the old man upstairs. If I was God, I'd send lightning down from heaven and say, old man, yeah, well, you don't know what an old man is. That's so disrespectful. That is so dishonoring. To look at God as nothing more than some old man upstairs or some grandfather image up there that his responsibility is to make sure that all my needs are met and he better be faithful to me. Oh, yeah? Really? Really? That's how you see him? That's how you reflect him? Some father image? Some grandfather image? Because your picture of God, as I've already said this morning, will reflect on how you praise him. It really will. So what I want you to do is stand with me today. Please, stand. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. And I want you to read with me what John saw. What was given to him to see. What he saw in John's revelation. Chapter 4, verse 8 and following. I want you to read this. This is God's word. This is how John was told and how he reflected and saw God. And how he saw the Lord. This is it right here. Lift up your level of praise by seeing the one that John's talking about here. See him from this perspective, if you will. From God's word and the revelation that the angel and the Spirit of God gave to John. This is what he said. Verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Amen. Turn, if you will, to chapter 5 and look at verse 11 and following. Again, this is the angel and the Spirit of God revealing this element and reflecting upon God Himself. "And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." A myriad is something that cannot be numbered. Unnumbered, 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 if you will, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature thing which created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen. Amen. Amen." And they fell down and they worshiped. Dear God, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for its revelation of who You are as our God, our Creator. You are worthy. You are indeed on Your throne. You are ruling and reigning until all Your enemies become Your footstool. Certainly are grateful for the Lamb that laid down His life, that was slain, that we could have this great opportunity of looking to the future, of knowing that, God, we are eternal beings, that we're going to live forever with You, the God of love, the God of goodness, the God of forgiveness, the God of grace, the God whom we praise this morning and lift up our voices saying, "Hallelujah, glory to You, Father, the One who sits on His throne, the One who reigns forever and forever." God, lift up our level of praise today. Help us to see You in all Your glory, acknowledge who You are, and help us to fall down and worship You because You are worthy. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing as we sing today our closing. It's a chorus, really. That's one I love. One expresses, I think, our true thoughts and hearts to God. And we're going to sing both verses, God and Jesus, okay, as it says. Shall we go?